DHS says the capability will be similar to what it's already doing with the FBI and, through them, local law enforcement agencies around the country. Biometric data, mainly fingerprints, can be shared between DHS databases and the criminal records the FBI holds at its Criminal Justice Information Services Division in West Virginia. The U.S. Visit Program, the office responsible for screening foreign visitors to the U.S., is the main repository for DHS's biometric data. U.S. Visit Director Bob Mockney says they've already had plenty of success stories with biometric information sharing through the Secure Communities Program. That program lets participating law enforcement agencies see data held by DHS. Mockney says that comes in handy when local law officers encounter a suspect who gives a false name.
We can tell that police officer who is really in front of them, and the fact that they have been deported two or three times before, and the fact that we not want to put a detainer on that individual and that we want to end up deporting that individual. From October 2008 through the end of January 2011, 62,000 convicted criminal aliens have been removed because of the Secure Communities Program. And that 62,000 that just may not have been encountered before, but have been encountered by more and more boots on the ground, eyes on the street, cops on the street, identifying people, booking them for some other crime, shoplifting, drunk driving, whatever it might be.
Mockney spoke on a panel at last week's AFCEA Homeland Security Conference here in Washington. He says the information sharing helps both ways. Since DHS also has access to FBI biometrics, its Customs and Border Protection agents can make better decisions about who to let into the country.
Prior to Rapid Response in Detroit, a prototype or a pilot that we will now expand to other locations, we have people coming into the country with criminal history that made them ineligible to come to the country. But they came to the country because we didn't know about it. We can now search the FBI's criminal master file, 65-some million prints in under 15 seconds. That is a tremendous, tremendous step forward in this idea of using and leveraging both information sharing and the technical interoperability between the two systems.
By the end of the year, that interoperability will hopefully be in place between DHS and the Defense Department, letting U.S. Border Control officials and consular officers know if the person standing in front of them is someone that the military has arrested or had contact with before on the battlefield, potentially even if DOD hasn't positively identified that person. The military's database also includes latent fingerprint data taken from improvised explosive devices and other combat scenarios. Dr. Thomas Killian is director of DOD's Biometrics Identity Management Agency.
The battlefield is not a nice, neat place, even localized on the earth anymore. There's a lot of trafficking across the globe. There are people who are moving throughout that globe. And there are certainly cases of people who've involved themselves in the wrong kinds of activities in theater and then popped up elsewhere on the globe, perhaps trying to come across a border. And if we weren't sharing this data and that were to happen and they were to engage in activities here domestically, we would certainly hear about it in the press, I can imagine. But because we can share that information and use it effectively, it will help to protect the homeland against such incidents.
DHS's Mockney says the sharing of biometric data with DOD has already proven itself. The two huge agencies are already exchanging information on individuals, but using slower, more manual processes. The next step, he says, is real-time access.
We'll be able to get information from the warfighters, information that will, again, inform our decision-makers who was in front of them and who is potentially not eligible for that particular benefit. That doesn't mean we're not sharing information right now. And every day, every week, every month, we get data, we get prints from the DOD. We load them into the system. We hit them on a regular basis. Much of the IED, improvised explosive device, latent prints, are then sent over to us, and we have made several identifications based on that. So kind of interoperability on the cheap. We're getting the data there, FTP or Buffalo Drive, however do it, CD. Within about a year's time frame, we believe we're going to have the full connectivity that we have with the FBI.
Killian says DOD's use of biometrics is a definite growth industry. He says the military's first major foray into the area a decade ago was as a means of positively identifying its own personnel and giving them access to the department's IT systems. Since then, it's amassed its own database of biometric data on adversaries, everything from fingerprints to facial profiles to iris scans.
As operations overseas grew, it became more of an operational necessity to be able to identify and track individuals in the battle space. Members of the civilian population, various sorts of malfeasance who might be in that battle space, and we need to track them, tracking prison populations. And the fact of the matter is that that's a growth industry for the DOD. In the future, We will need these capabilities, regardless of the type of operation that we'll be performing, whether it's disaster relief, whether it's a stability and support operations, whether it's some level of limited conflict. We will need these capabilities in the field, again, to track those who would do us harm.
Although the new methods of information sharing are a huge step forward, FBI Assistant Director Dan Roberts warns the technical implementation is the easy part. As with any kind of sharing of personally identifiable information, biometrics raises policy questions too. For example, in his case, the criminal justice information system he runs is populated by data that the FBI doesn't actually own.
My database, which is very rich with 70 million bad guys, we don't own those records. They're owned by the states. They're owned by the 18,000 law enforcement agencies across this country. They submit them to us. They allow us to use them. We hold them, and then we distribute them per their agreements with each of the states that we have. Every state has a different law governing what records can be distributed and what they can be used for, whether it's a civil purpose or a law enforcement purpose. The challenge is walking that line and making sure that we're not violating any of the state's rights in addition to our own federal laws here that we have.
President Bush signed a Homeland Security Presidential Directive, HSPD 24, in 2008. It requires agencies to make biometric data available to one another using interoperable integrated systems. The directive told agencies to include data on anyone they reasonably suspect might pose a national security threat, but to do so within existing law. Besides meeting their statutory obligations, agencies who actually have legal custody of the data need to make sure they share it in a way that keeps it safe. So says Stephanie Rowe, a former Homeland Security official who now runs the private firm Next LLC.
It's easier to build an interface. It's harder for TSA to say, hey, you know what, CBP? I'm going to let you run the router for secure flight. Because when that router goes down and the secure flight program goes down, guess whose name is on the front page of the paper? Because the shade of gray that says CBP is running the router is irrelevant. And so as we think about interoperability and as we think about leveraging capabilities from other places, those agencies or those owners that own those programs are the ones that are accountable.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.